This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, November 3rd, 2017. I'm Mark Boulanger. In Geneva this week, 1,300 representatives of public sector unions met at the World Congress of the Global Union Public Services International. The PSI represents 20 million workers in 150 countries. I talked to Rosa Pavanelli, the PSI's General Secretary, about the themes of the Congress.
For us, it's important to consolidate the work that we have been developing so far and we want to enhance in the next 5 years related to tax justice and to a fair system of trade. Tax justice is one of our priorities because we consider that without a fair tax system at global level, it won't be possible to eradicate poverty, and it won't be possible to create the condition for reducing poverty and to reestablish more equality around the world. The second theme is the fact that our fight against privatization of public services, and in particular this wave of public-private partnership that are the real tool to open the door for privatization of public services, is continuing around the world.
Ms. Pavanelli was re-elected as the PSI's General Secretary for a second 5-year term. One of the delegates attending the PSI conference was Tafari Gabre. Mr. Gabre is the executive vice president of the largest labor federation in the United States, the AFL-CIO. He called for a global pact to protect migrants.
Last year, I had one of my utmost honors to address the UN General Assembly and shared my perspective as an immigrant, a refugee, person of color, and the labor leader in the United States. I spoke about the need to promote rights-based policies and the end of criminalization and exploitation of migrants. Since then, the situation has only gotten worse. The Trump administration is terrorizing immigrant communities, work sites, tearing apart families, and threatening people who came to the United States at a very young age with their parents and have only known the United States to be their country. A year ago at the UN, I could have hardly imagined the threats that we'd be facing today. This is personal for me. I was a child when I left Ethiopia at the age of 14 to escape political violence. And I'm grateful the United States extended a hand for me and I settled in the United States. Brothers and sisters, I know firsthand how much refugees and migrants can achieve and contribute when they are given a chance. Since arriving in the US, I have spent my entire life organizing to ensure that all workers, regardless of immigration status, can exercise their rights collectively and lift each other up. And that's what we're seeing across the United States today. Hotel workers, farm workers, teachers, taxi drivers, public construction and retail workers have been making their voices heard from cities, from Los Angeles to Phoenix, from New York City to Austin, and many points in between. Union members are defending our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends from being swept up in immigration raids. Working people understand that when a government terrorizes people who are simply living their lives and going to work each day, we all lose. When we allow ourselves to be divided, we're weak. When we are weak, standards erode, not only for migrants, but for all of us. We have to keep the fight up from the local level all the way up to the global level. That's why I feel strongly that we must unite and fight to build a more just global system for millions and millions of other migrants and refugees. It's essential that a new commitment related to Global Compact on Migrants must empower workers to exercise their right. We need a Global Compact that gives workers of all skill levels a real chance at family reunification, permanent migration, and raise standards for all working people. Many existing regular channels for labor migration fail miserably in meeting basic standards and are just not fair or even in many cases safe. From the Gulf region to Southeast Asia to North America, workers entering secular temporary labor migration programs face exploitation. Recruitment practices are restricted in their movements and risk detention and deportation if they dare speak up, threaten to leave, or otherwise exercise their rights. These are fundamental failures of the employer-controlled visa system. These programs do not empower workers, nor do they contribute to equitable development. They merely continue to swell corporate profits at the expense of all of us. Sisters and brothers, we must elevate the human and labor rights of migrants, allow for permanent migration and regularization, and empower workers to exercise their rights to take collective action free from state and employer interference.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the average of 360 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top story section included links to stories about the decision by a Canadian union to revoke a human rights award it gave to Aung San Suu Kyi, a global campaign by the International Federation of Journalists to end impunity for attacks on journalists, and a hunger strike in Mauritius that resulted in a victory against precarious work. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Bangladeshi container port lorry drivers parked their trucks for 48 hours earlier this week in a protest over increased vehicle taxes and police harassment. Bermudan dockers down tools in an effort to press their wage demands. American teachers ended a wage dispute and returned to work this week, while in the same country, care home workers were forced to continue their walkout after their employer unilaterally imposed cuts to their benefits. Medical Institute workers in Pakistan set up a permanent camp to house their sit-in protest over the restructuring of medical research facilities in that country. Nigerian local government workers ended their walkout after months of wages owed were paid, while other public sector workers held a 3-day warning strike this week after the government failed to implement a wage agreement reached in September. And in South Africa, beverage workers began a national wage dispute with a walkout, as did security guards. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the life history of an Indian trade union activist, and the Australian union that has given that country's government 100 days to address the gender pay gap in early childhood education. The Health and Safety Newswire we run in cooperation with Hazards magazine carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the deaths of 8 Indian rail workers killed while sleeping after excessive overtime when an unsafe building collapsed on them, new restrictions on workplace carcinogens in Europe that are expected to save 100,000 lives over the next 50 years, and union concerns about health hazards in Barbadian schools. Currently, Labor Start is running 6 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Radio Labor's newscasts are available on its website, iTunes, Facebook, union websites, and community radio stations. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labor. I'm Art Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.